got five chapters in it, but the rest of them don't have very many chapters. Anyway, we're almost done on Facebook with going through the epistles. Now, I got something planned for after that that's going to be a lot of fun. But anyway, yesterday I put a verse up out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and I listed it on Facebook as 1 Peter chapter 2. And I noticed that Donnie and Becky didn't catch it, but Coco was very nice to let me know that, Mark, you've got those backwards. And I sent her a text back and said, that's not the only thing I've got backwards. But anyway, it's been very interesting, and it's been very informative to people. And we've had some people that's gone along with us. I don't know how many people are actually reading the chapters, but if nothing else, they're getting to see the Bible verses. And that's an important thing. Our ministry, what our ministry has become, and if you need more than this, if you need church fellowship, and you need music, and you need deacons and elders and camaraderie and women's breakfasts and men's breakfasts, if you need more than that, we're perfectly okay with you doing that, as long as you'll show up and come to Bible study with us. So our ministry is primarily about getting information to people, and our ministry is primarily geared towards people that aren't going to church on a regular basis, or they're not, they never have had any real experience with church, because we want to get people the information, because I believe that it's the information in the Bible that will set people free. But it's more than just the information. So that's where we're going to go to today, because the title of today's sermon is Mixed with Faith. Mixed with Faith. So I had something interesting happen to me on Friday morning or Friday night. I went to bed, and I don't know when dreams happen. A lot of people say that you'll dream something right before you wake up. And I think that can primarily be true. But anyway, Friday night, I had the most interesting dream. I had a dream that this verse came into my mind, and I was preaching and teaching in church. But the interesting thing about it is most of the people that were there are people that no longer come to Life in Christ Ministries. But they were there in the dream. And the verse that was put on my heart was this phrase. It was part of a verse. It was this phrase: the word which they heard didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. That's the verse. That's the verse that I had in my dream. And I was sharing that verse in the congregation as I was teaching. And you know how sometimes I'll have y'all look up verses for me while I'm teaching. So while I was doing that, I asked some of the people out there to see if they could find out where that verse was, because I couldn't remember where the verse was. And so in my dream, several people that aren't coming to the Life in Christ Ministries anymore were looking for it, and they said, I can't find it. They looked in Corinthians and Romans and so forth and so on. They said, we can't find it. And so the fascinating thing was, I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I thought, well, I know what that verse is. That verse is Hebrews 4:2. So I'm assuming that the Lord was sharing with me and teaching me that he wanted me to share with you about Hebrews 4:2. But before I get to that, I promised you last week that I was going to start at 2 Corinthians 5:17. So let's put that up, and then I'm going to let y'all know that occasionally I'm going to get a drink of water, because I do have a dry mouth a little bit. Okay. So everybody, following along. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, what we've done for the past several Sundays is let you know that the epistles have taken us into a journey where we've discovered that, first of all, we've discovered that we're saved by grace through faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you is happy about that, that you're saved by grace through faith, not by works of righteousness, which you have done or we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. And the way he saved us was through the washing, the renewal of the Holy Spirit and regeneration, or recreating us. So we found out that we're saved by grace through faith. And then the next thing that we've discovered is not only did God save us by grace through faith, but he made us new creatures in Christ. We're not the same people we used to be. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. Now, some of these things that I'm saying to you, I'm not going to put the verses up, but I'm hoping that those of y'all that have followed along with me through Facebook remember those verses. First Peter tells us we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're to proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is that correct? So we found out that not only are we saved by grace through faith, but God, in his mercy and goodness to us, made us new creatures. In other words, we couldn't be accepted in the kingdom of God with our old nature. So God had to give us a brand new nature, and he gave us his divine nature. Now, that's good stuff. And that's what we want Christians to know. Now, where people get bogged down, and I'm only reviewing this because this is not what we're going to talk about this, but we're going to talk about it from a different angle. Where people get bogged down is that they look in the mirror and they see the same person physically that they saw before they knew Jesus, because your new nature is not on the outside. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's a new nature. It's a born again spirit. And that's what's been made in the image and likeness of God. And it's the very depth of your being. It's the inner man. It's the person on the inside. It's who God connects to. It's who God contacts with. The Bible says that God's spirit, this is Romans 8:16, that God's spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. See, God doesn't bear witness with our body. He doesn't bear witness with our mind. He bears witness with our spirit. And then the Christian life, the rest of our Christian life, we're to bring out what God has done in our spirit into our minds and into our bodies. That's the whole gist of Christianity after you receive Christ. And it is, let me see if I can get an amen on this. Let me see if I can get an amen on this. It is a lifelong process. Amen. I see Donnie's hand up. It's a lifelong process. Jerry's been in this thing for many, many, many years and still walking with the Lord. And I know she'll give me the amen when she tells you it's a lifelong process to keep your mind and your body focused on your spirit instead of on the things of this world. Amen. So anyway, I'm going to eventually, as God is my witness, I'm going to finish 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21, because if Chris Saylor was here, some of the things that I've recommended, because in our actual in-class, in-service Bible lessons, we're only up to 2 Corinthians in going through the epistles, but I told you in the book of Romans that it's absolutely essential that you know Romans 3, Romans 5, and Romans 8. And I'm telling you, in 2 Corinthians, it's absolutely essential that you know 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But here's the thing that I want to talk about today, because I'm going to talk about it not only to help you, but also to help me, since I've been attacked with these symptoms. And I've had some other physical things that's occurred with me that I'm not going to receive, and I'm going to rebuke. So anyway, I'm doing this for both of us, for all of us out there. So remember the dream. where the Lord gave me that verse. So let's put Hebrews 4:2 up and let's read that verse. It's an amazing verse. Hebrews 4:2. And again, I apologize if I have a little cough and I've got these symptoms. And so Hebrews 4:2 says, let me find that. Jordan, you were supposed to be over here, but Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So here's what I want you to understand. We've been teaching now through the epistles that you're saved by grace through faith. We've been teaching through the epistles that you're a new creature in Christ. You're not the same person you used to be. You're going to find out in the epistles in 1 Peter, you're going to find out that by his stripes you were healed. Can I get an amen? You're going to find out in the epistles that God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You're going to find out in the epistles that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But this verse of scripture says that all those things you're going to find out doesn't do you any good unless you mix your faith with it. In other words, you got to believe it. And so I'm speaking to me and I'm speaking to everybody else that's listening. All this wonderful information, all this wonderful truth is available. It's real. It's a reality. But in order to get it to manifest in our lives, notice it says it's got to be mixed with faith in those who heard it. You got to mix your faith with it. It's the ingredient that's necessary to go along with the information in the Word of God to make it productive in our lives. How many of you want things to be productive? You see that? Y'all see that? So I believe that's the reason why the Lord spoke that to me personally in that dream, was that he wanted me to understand, look, you got to mix your faith with all the stuff you know. You got to mix your faith and say, you know what? By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You got to mix your faith and say that God has sent Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You got to mix your faith and understand that God is not tempted by evil. And if you read the four gospels, you'll find out that sickness and disease is evil. And if God's not tempted by evil, then I don't have to be tempted by evil because I've been made in his image and likeness. And so you have to mix your faith with that. It's not enough just to hear the information. So that's what this Bible lesson's about. And again, it's for me as well as it is for you, because I'm not going to just sit around and rejoice about the fact that I know this stuff. I've got to put this stuff into operation into my own life. So you see that? For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. He's talking about the fact that the Israelites had the gospel preached to them, in that God told them they weren't going to be slaves to the Egyptians anymore, that he was going to put them in the promised land and set them free, but they didn't receive it. The people didn't receive it except Joshua and Caleb, and the rest of them died in the wilderness, even though it was God's will for everybody to go to the promised land. Did you know it's God's will for all of us to be partakers of his divine nature? It's God's will for all of us to be able to overcome the devil. But you know, very few of us do it, because the ingredient that's missing is our faith. Because the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Man, you know, Donnie gave me some grouper from Mexico this past week, and I've got to where I know how to do that right. But I'm going to tell you something. If all you put on that grill is just the grouper, you don't mix the right stuff in it. I found out you got to put a little lemon juice in it. You got to put a little Old Bay seasoning sauce. And then Teresa found some salt and pepper and garlic powder that we put on there. And when you mix all those ingredients together and put them on that grill and then put them in aluminum foil, oh my, that's becoming one of my favorite things. But notice that grouper wouldn't taste the same if all you did is put the grouper on the grill. You got to mix the right ingredients with it. See, the Word of God's been available to everybody for 2,000 years, and it hadn't produced as much benefit for people because the thing you got to do is believe it and receive it and act on it. All right, now let's develop that some more. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This is beneficial to everybody. Look at this right here. It says, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," and I'm going to develop this theme next week. I'm going to get more into this next week. I just wanted to stop here because I wanted to preach to me as well as to you. I wanted to teach myself this morning. But it says, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, see, how does faith come? By hearing. How does information come? By hearing. How do you know things? Because somebody tells it to you. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, notice that, which you heard from us. Listen to this. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now listen to this. Listen. Which also effectively works in you who believe. Oh man, that's the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The gospel was preached to the Israelites. It didn't profit them because they didn't mix their faith with it. We have the word of God. The epistles are God's word to us. They've been inspired by God. They tell us what Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection did for us, but they won't be, what's the word he uses? See, I love these words. I like that word profit in Hebrews 4:2. It didn't profit you. And then I like this word in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's not effective if you don't believe it. See, it's not effective if you don't believe it. You got to mix your faith with the word of God. If the word of God says that by his stripes you were healed, then you have to mix your faith and say that by his stripes I am healed. And faith speaks. We're in 2 Corinthians in our lessons. And so there is a verse in 2 Corinthians 4:13 that says, Teresa's bringing it up for me. If you bring it up on your phone, then I can have it over here. Anyway, I'll read that to you later. But notice it says, it effectively works in those who believe. It effectively works in those who believe. So the word of God by itself won't be effective until you mix your faith with it, until you believe it. And that's what he says in 2 Corinthians 4:13. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, and I think this is important to read because this is another thing we need to know. And since we have the same spirit of faith, everybody say that. And since we have the same spirit of faith, say that again. And since we have the same spirit of faith, see, when you became a new creature in Christ, listen to me now. When you became a new creature in Christ, God gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You have the same spirit of faith. I'll tell you something else, and this is one of the reasons why you'd want to keep the old King James version of the Bible around. You actually literally have, and I won't take the time to say it, to show it to you in the Bible, but you actually have the faith of Jesus Christ. You have the faith of Christ. It's in Galatians chapter 2 that you have the actual faith of Christ because you have the spirit of Christ. Man, I'm telling you right now that that's worth shouting about. And that's worth coming and listening to this Zoom service and putting up with some in congestion and a stuffy head, and maybe me coughing a little bit here, because you have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You have the spirit of Christ. You have the spirit of faith. And that's another thing that I've learned, and I hope I've passed it on to everybody. You don't have a faith problem. You got enough faith. You just simply have to mix it with God's word. You simply have to mix the faith you have with the word of God, and it will profit you and it will be effective for you. And whatever it is that you're lacking, you can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need healing for your body, if you need peace for your mind, if you need finances for your bank account, you can get all that through faith and grace, because you have the same spirit of faith. See what it says? And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Don't ever forget this. This is a fundamental, foundational truth. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. What does faith speak? Faith speaks the word of God. Faith speaks the word of God. See, I know now why God gave me that dream, because he wanted me to not just know this stuff and not just teach this stuff and not just put this information out, but also to remind people that for it to effectively work in you, for it to profit you, you have to speak what you believe. You have to speak the word of God. Can I get an amen? Yeah. All right, let me give you the next verses. What are the next ones in the slide? Watch this now. I believe we'll go over now to James chapter 1.
Verses what?
22. James chapter 1, verse 22. Now watch this and follow along with me. Everybody tracking with me? Do you have the same spirit of faith?
Yes.
Amen. Do you know the word of God?
Yes.
Are you going to speak that word?
Yes.
Amen. Are you healed by the stripes of Jesus, Coco? Is Mark Browning healed by the stripes of Jesus?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Has God given us a spirit of fear? No, but of love and of peace and of joy and of a sound mind. All right. Now listen to this. Watch this. This is very interesting. And by the way, these are all verses in the epistles, because we need everybody to become epistle-lighted. James says it like this in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Boy, you got to just focus on that. Think about that a minute. See, if I sit here on this couch and just thought about God's word and read the word, but didn't do what the word said, I'm just deceiving myself. Listen to me very carefully. Now, people are listening by radio and internet. And, you know, I don't think I've said anything so far that's offensive, and that wouldn't be right. I got to at least say one offensive thing for it to be a normal Sunday, don't I? So many people, and I hope people receive that in the right. See, so many people are missing God because see, it would be foolish for me. I want you to hear this. Coco, this will help you too. See, it would be foolish of me to sit on the couch and pray and ask God to heal me. Now, people aren't going to understand that. A lot of people aren't going to understand that. First of all, I'm a simple-minded person, but if somebody has told me that God is God, I have to believe that God knows everything. So first of all, for me to sit around and just pray and say, God, heal me. First of all, don't you know God already knows I've got symptoms? Don't you already know that God knows I don't feel good? Coco, isn't that true? See, where we're missing it in the body of Christ. Now, prayer is absolutely important. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. It's important to pray, but it's what you pray and it's how you pray. Prayer is basically staying in communication with God. You know, in the epistles, it says to pray without ceasing. That means you should always have your mind centered on God and praying to God. But there comes a time in every Christian's life where you have to quit praying and you have to start doing. So what I got to do, and what everybody needs to do when you have a problem, is you have to find out what God says about it, and then you have to do what the Word says. So I don't need to sit on the couch and pray, God, heal me. I need to know that God already healed me 2,000 years ago. Listen to me. And I have to do what the Word of God says and speak to my sickness, speak to my mountain, and tell it in the name of Jesus, you're not going to dominate me. You're not going to get victory over me. I rebuke you and I command you to leave my body. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, I'm restored and made whole in Jesus' name. Now, yes, listen to me. Now I've become a doer of the Word. See, we've got so many people that are wasting their time praying about things as though God doesn't already know what the problem is. We got to get people to go forth and manifest God's Word through action. God's looking for people of action. David was a hero, not because he stood by and just thought about how wonderful it would be if he could slew the giant. David was a hero because he went and found five smooth stones and told that giant, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He was a doer of the Word. Can I get an amen? Does everybody see where we're going? Do everybody understand why it's so important that we stay connected and stay talking about these things? I don't mean to be isolationist or anything like that, but I don't think there's a lot of churches that are talking this way. And so we got to keep manifesting this information to people and not just giving them the information, but also reminding them that you got to do what the Word says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. What about the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus is walking through a multitude of people, the manifest Word of God. He's anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. God's glory is manifested through him, and he's walking through a multitude of people, but one woman gets healed because she's a doer of the Word. First of all, she heard about Jesus, and she heard the right thing about him. She didn't hear that he wants you sick. She didn't hear that she deserved to have her her blood always running. She didn't hear that she'd done something terrible in her life, and that's why these things were happening to her. She heard that there was a person on the earth that was healing people unconditionally, that was healing people because he loved them, was healing people because of his grace and mercy. And she heard about Jesus, and she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She did something. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Everybody else in that whole crowd could have reached out and touched him. And those genius apostles, those brilliant men that were always told to memorize all 12 of them. And I don't have all of them memorized. I do have one person memorized. His name is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. But anyway, these people that are in this multitude, they could have touched the hem of his garment and they could have been made whole, but they didn't do the Word. See, they were sitting on a couch praying and they were begging and asking. And see, God doesn't work that way. That's not how God works. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but God doesn't work that way. God's a rewarder. Listen, one of my favorite verses, my dear Jerry over there made me a banner, and I don't know where we put that banner, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who touch the hem of his garment. He's a rewarder of those who throw that stone, who throw that slingshot, who pull the slingshot at that giant. He's a rewarder of those who get off that couch and say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And if it wasn't because of quarantine, I'd be out walking right now in the name of Jesus. He's a rewarder of those that tell that doctor, hey, you're going to do the greatest job you've ever done on me, and you're not going to find any cancer in my body, because I'm not just a hearer of the Word of God, I'm a doer of it. Man alive, I'm telling you. I don't know if I'm helping you, but I sure am helping me. they don't watch out, I'm going to go down and walk 18 holes of golf this afternoon. The only problem is I had to let them know I've got diagnosed with COVID, and them old men, they get awfully nervous when they find out somebody's been diagnosed with it. So anyway, I'll probably do the right thing and stay away till at least Tuesday or Wednesday. Y'all tracking with me? Isn't this beautiful stuff? Isn't this wonderful stuff? And you know something? Let me tell you something. Please don't anybody think that I am talking down to you and that I've got this, you know, I'm an expert in it. And I mean, I'm just letting you know that I know this is how it works and I'm staying with it. And this has worked for me for my entire life. And I believe it and I'm going to keep teaching it. And there's a remnant of people that'll keep receiving it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, remember I left them apostles out there dumb on the street. Let me fix that up. So Jesus said, who touched me? See, he didn't even know who he healed. Man, I had a lady leave a church over that. I did. I had a lady leave a church over that. But the Bible says that Jesus said, who touched me? Because power went out of him. Because what God does for you is not based on what you've done. It's based on his grace and mercy. And the grace of God was manifested in the presence of all that multitude. Receive that, everybody. It's based on his grace and mercy. It's not based on what you've done. He didn't even know who got healed. And he said, who touched me? And the apostle said, Peter. I know one of the writers identifies Peter as saying, what do you mean who touched you? You know, Peter was always kind of bold towards Jesus. Came back to haunt him a little bit though, didn't it? And he said, what do you mean who touched you? You see the multitude thronging you. And Jesus said, yeah, but somebody touched me with faith. Somebody was a doer of the word. And she fell down in front of him and said, I'm the one. I'm the one that did it. I'm the one that touched the hem of your garment. And he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Mark Browning, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Coco Rupsaman, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Anybody else want to get in that? You want me to say your name? Raise your hand. I'll say your name. Oh, there you go. Everybody got quiet on me. All right. Everybody see that? All right, let's read this. Let's read it. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now watch this. I love this illustration here because I think everybody can relate to this, especially the ladies out there. Although I'm kind of a mirror man myself. Listen to this. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, listen to this. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. We've all done that. I'm hoping that a few of y'all looked in the mirror before you came to church this morning. I got up this morning, and because I was doing this Bible class, I shaved and trimmed my beard up a little bit, and I looked in a mirror, and I didn't mind what I saw. And I know that a lot of y'all out there feel the same way, but isn't it amazing how you can look in that mirror and then let me, this phone keeps going back to dark. It says, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. See, listen to me. I'm going to finish the verse, but I want to stay right here. Here's what's going on. See, I can be sitting on the couch and I can be moaning and groaning about having a head cold or having an achy body or having a sore throat. I'm just using illustrations or, you know, anything, being diagnosed with cancer, you know, having some kind of lung disease, you name it. I can be sitting on a couch and I can be thinking on that, or I can be sitting on a couch and thinking about the word of God and let that be the mirror that I'm looking into. See, that's what he's trying to get you to see. See, and that's what's fascinating to me is that when we get in trouble, because none of us are immune from trouble. None of us. I don't care who you are. Somebody said, a lot of my family, they think I never am going to get sick. And I'm not talking about Teresa and Jordan, but some of my other family. My sister, I told my sister that I was diagnosed with COVID. And she said, well, you won't put up with that very long. And then my other daughter, she always knows I'd rebuke everything. And she said, well, I know you'll rebuke it. But see, we're not immune to these things coming on us. But what we need to do is know how to overcome them. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if I'm sitting on a couch feeling sorry for myself or thinking about my symptoms and bogged down in my symptoms and listening to bad reports, you got to be careful who you listen to. You got to be careful who you talk to. You got to be careful about that. If I focus on that, then I'm no longer looking at the mirror of the Word of God. See, the mirror of the Word of God is always going to say to me, you know what, Mark, you're healed. The mirror of the Word of God is always going to say to me, you know what, Donnie, you're prosperous. You know what? The mirror of the Word of God is always going to say to me, you know what? You have peace of mind. The mirror of the Word of God is always going to say what the Word says. It's not going to go by what the circumstances and the situations are. Man, we're in 2 Corinthians, and it's amazing how God always, when I'm on a book, he'll keep me focused on some verses, so I'm fair to that book. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Brian, I'm assuming you're keeping us track on time, aren't you? Is that correct, Brian? Are we keeping track on time? Because I'm in a flow of the Spirit right now. Did I hear something from Brian on that? Is he tracking me on time? Can somebody nod at me? All right. Huh? 37 minutes? Thank you, my friend. All right, listen to this. Therefore, listen to this. Wait a minute. I want to go to verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We're talking about that mirror again. We're talking about that mirror. What are we going to look at? What are we going to look at? What are we going to look into? 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen. See? Oh, that's so important. Y'all see that? See, you don't look at the things which are seen. Man, I tell you, one of the things that I've had to start doing is I've had to lower my dose of looking at the news. I've had to. It's so terrible. It's so rotten. It's so corrupt. It's so false. It's there's no truth out there, folks. I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but there's just no truth out there. And I've had to really lower my dose of what I watch and listen to because it was starting to really affect me. And so you can't look at the things which are seen while we do not look at the things which are seen. Now, listen, let me say this, though. That doesn't mean we don't participate. If you're a Christian and you're listening to me and you don't vote on November the 8th, then I have no respect for you at all. I have no respect for you at all. I have no respect. I don't want to hear you whining. I don't want to hear you complaining because you gave up your God-given right that great men and women gave their lives for, so we could do something about the mess. So that doesn't mean we don't pay attention. I don't want anybody to misunderstand now. And it doesn't mean we don't pay attention, but I'm not going to fill my mind and heart with all that bad news, but I'm going to do my civic duty and do my dead level best to get these godless satanic people from running our country, because that's who's running our country. And I got to get that in there. When Brian told me I had 37 minutes to go, I had to get that in there for a minute. Y'all listening to me? But I don't look at those things. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the Word of God's eternal. It's eternal. It's eternal in the heavens. That's 1 Peter 2:24 says that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Go back to James. It's eternal that it says by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. It's eternal that it says that God has raised Jesus up from the dead and he sits at his right hand ever living to make intercession for us. That's for eternity. It's eternal that it says that God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. It's eternal that it says that God made Jesus poor so he could make us rich so that we could have our needs met. That's eternal truth. And that's the things we got to look at. That's the things we got to look at. Amen. Somebody raise your hands up and holler at me or something. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Mr. Leon, you hanging in there with us? All right. All right. All right. Randy and Linda, I'm glad you're back. Glad you're back. All right, here we go. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. I'm back to James. And it says, for he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But listen, all right, verse 25, watch this, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Ooh, that's important. That's important. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. See, what mirror are you looking at? Are you looking at the mirror of the local news and the national news? Are you looking into the Word of God? Are you looking into the eternal truth? Are you looking into what the Word of God says? Whose report are we going to believe? Man, you know what? I think I might have to preach this about every week. I think I may have to preach this about every week because I see this as what's lacking. I think what we'll do is we'll give people the information in the epistles because it is God's word. We'll give people the information in the epistles, and then we'll remind everybody it's only effective if you believe it. It's only effective if you mix your faith with it. It's only effective if that's the mirror you keep focusing on, right? Amen. And again, is this easy? No, it's not. You know, one of the things that the devil comes to me with is sometimes he'll show me just how difficult this is. But really, it's not difficult if your heart's in the right place. That's another truth. It's not difficult if your heart's in the right place. But if you got a divided heart, sometimes it's difficult because, you know, the things that's required of us to be able to manifest these things in our lives require us to focus more on the things of God than the things of the world. So I sent the devil off the other, just, he was trying to get me a little bit off base yesterday about it. But you know what? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Praise God. God's faithful and just. I think I need to say this too. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, you version of the Bible, one of the reasons why we promote it, it's what I use when I read the Bible on my phone, and it gives you a verse every morning. And yesterday morning it said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." See, that's looking into the perfect law of liberty. That's looking into the perfect law of liberty. What are his benefits? He forgives all my iniquities, he heals all my diseases, and he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God, that shouting ground. Man, listen, do this today. You know, y'all like my Bible classes because there's never any homework. Y'all like them because there's never any homework. And if I add homework to it, I'm probably going to lose what I got, but I'm going to take a chance. Do me a favor, go home today and read the first five verses of Psalm 103. And let that be the mirror you focus on today. Let that be what you focus on today. Don't forget his benefits. So he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You know, I say a whole lot of stuff, and I know that I put out a lot of information. You know, they say every class I ever went to on public speaking and teaching, they say that people cut you out about after 45 minutes. After 45 minutes, people need to stop listening and start, you know, thinking about what you said. But I know that I put out a lot of information. I'm thinking a lot of times that in my thinking, I'm thinking, you know, we're on the radio station on 92.3, the Great Country Channel. Thanks, Bryant. In Sierra Vista. And I know that occasionally we'll get people that'll hear these things in maybe the end of the sermon or the middle of the sermon. And so I want to always put a verse out there somewhere in between so they'll at least hear a verse. Because see, they thought they were going to hear Kenny Chesney this morning. See, I got me a new country name. They thought they were going to hear Kenny Chesney this morning or Faith Hill or Carrie Underwood. But they got Mark Browning this morning, and Mark Browning can give you some information that'll change your whole life. So your homework assignment is to read Psalm 103, first five verses. Let that be the mirror you focus on today. Let that be what you look into. So we're going to close up today with Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. And again, thank you guys so much for letting me do this, giving us this opportunity, for the financial resources so we can keep doing it and so we can keep being givers too. We've become very popular in the giving community. We get letters every day requesting funds. So let's finish over at Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. Famous verses. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Listen to this. "Do not let them depart from your eyes." See there now? See? That's the mirror that we got to keep in front of us. That's the mirror. Not the mirror that's going to show our old natural face and show the warts and the pimples and the flaws, but the mirror of God's word. Remember what James called it? The perfect law of liberty. That's what James called it. The perfect law of liberty. God's word is perfect. It's perfect when God's word says that by his stripes you were healed. It's perfect when God's word says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's perfect when God's word says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. It's perfect. And that's what you got to give attention to. You got to give attention to God's word. You got to mix your faith with it. You got to believe it so that it's effective and profitable in our lives. Amen. Oh, man, let me say this to you. I did watch a couple of episodes of Andrew Womack's teachings yesterday, and he's going through the lessons from Elijah. And it's just amazing how so many things he says are things that I've said or things that I want to say. And he talked about how the world desperately wants to see the reality of Christianity. You know, they desperately want to see the power of God. They desperately want to know that there is a God that heals. There is a God that saves. There is a God that cares and meets people's needs. And you know who's going to manifest that? The church. Man, we don't need to just be religious. And we don't need to just give people information. We need to demonstrate the information. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? And I am so sorry for how many times I've failed at that. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to keep telling people this. And I'm going to keep believing God that the demonstration of his spirit will manifest for his glory. For his glory. See, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, see, you know who's doing that. See, it's up to me. I was on that couch yesterday, and it was up to me to decide what am I going to keep in front of my eyes, and what am I going to keep in the midst of my heart? It's up to me. It's not up to God. It's up to me. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Amen. Praise God. That's as good as I can give it right there. That's as good as I can tell it. That's as good as I can share it. And that's as sincere as I can present it, because I want this stuff in my life too. I don't want to just teach it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. See, a hypocrite just teaches things, but a believer, a true follower, manifest it. Can I get an amen? That's why I'll be back on Tuesday, bless God, come hell or high water. Let's stand up on your feet. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for taking care of this for me. And let's do this for the radio and the internet audience. Good to see everybody out today. Mary, great seeing you back in church this morning. So let's say this together. Let me offer this to everybody. If you're listening by radio or internet and you've never received Jesus, you have to receive Jesus to connect to the one true God. I heard one politician this week talking about everybody has a right to serve their God. No. It's not their God. As though there's many gods, as though it's your choice to choose a God. No, there's only one God. There's only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's not, it's not up to you to decide which God you're going to choose and which laws you're going to obey and which things you're going to promote. It's what God says. Oh, that's why our country's in trouble, because we got away from what God says. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. So listen, you need to connect to the one true God, the God of the Bible, through Jesus Christ. Just say this with me. Say, dear God, I've heard about Jesus, and I want to receive him. I want to acknowledge him as Lord. I believe he died for my sins, and he rose from the dead for my justification. By faith, I mix my faith with what Jesus did, and by faith, I can now say I am a child of God. Now listen, the other thing I want to do is I want to let everybody that's listening by radio and internet and everybody out there that came to church this morning, that if you've heard this Bible truth this morning and you realize that you've been sitting on the couch and waiting for God to do something, and you now recognize that you got to reach out and take it by faith, because God's provided it by grace. If that's you, then reach out. If you got sickness in your body, rebuke that sickness in Jesus' name. If you got depression in your mind, rebuke that depression in Jesus' name. If you've got poverty in your checkbook, rebuke that poverty in Jesus' name. If you've got strife in your life, rebuke that in Jesus' name, and be a doer of God's word. Find out what God's word says about it, and then act on it. Be a doer. Don't be a forgetful hearer, but operate the perfect law of liberty, and you will be blessed in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said,
amen.
Woo, that was fun.